A corrections officer listens to the Final Straw broadcast religiously told me once that corrections officers are part of the 99%. You know, the 99%, the broad majority that Occupy brilliantly claimed to represent. In contrast to the privileged 1%, this corrections officer made a very similar argument to the one presented by Billy Joe Asclown, lead singer of the poser band Green Douche. Billy Joe claimed that police are part of the 99%. In one sense, this is seemingly true. Cops and guards are union members. They make a wage for their labor. They live on the same streets as teachers and plumbers and sanitation workers. None of them live in lavish homes and gated communities along with the world's ruling elite. Cops and guards, by this standard, are just working stiffs just like everyone else. Except they're not. Look, to some greater or lesser degree, we all keep the slavery system running. All of us. I get that. We're all plugged in. Forced to drag stones up the side of the pyramid for food rewards. We all work at chop and die. The system, in that sense, has all of us hugging our own chains and digging our own graves, whether we like it or not. There's just no getting around it. But in the case of cops and guards, we're dealing with a special case of keeping the system going, one that trumps their union membership and their wage labor class identification. While cops and guards might be economically part of the 99%, they are also openly and unapologetically waving pom-poms for the 1%. Some necessary history here. Police didn't exist in the U.S. until the Fugitive Slave Act. With the advent of slave laws, private groups largely composed of clansmen chased down escaped slaves and returned them to the slave masters, serving the profit margins of the land-owning 1%, the aristocracy, at the expense of the poor and desperate and enslaved. The word cop comes from copper, from the Latin capere, which means to catch or to capture. These vigilant clan groups were incorporated into public jobs as police, serving the interests of the wealthy, privileged 1%. At the end of slavery, prisons became the new plantations, and the prison boom was accompanied by a boom in prison jobs, where police arose from slave catchers, guards arose from slave managers.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
The prisons employed the same element of poor whites who used to crack the whip on the plantation. So, from the beginning, the role of the cop and the guard is to betray their economic class in order to serve the ruling 1%. This explains why cops, who themselves are unionized, are often sent to crack the skulls of striking workers. It explains how a union hero like Joe Hill was arrested by cops and executed by prison guards, whose true loyalties are the privileged and the wealthy. But cops and guards don't just betray their economic class, they betray themselves. The unions of both cops and guards willingly abide by no-strike clauses, where they agree to not employ the only real leverage that workers have. In agreeing to never strike, cops and guards unions put the interests of the state and the interests of the cops and guards, and the cops and guards go along with it. This means cops and guards would rather take pay cuts, take food out of their mouths of the children, eliminate their own kids' college opportunities, than inconvenience the state and the oligarchy that the state serves. That's just pathetic. As a consequence of their spineless surrender in the interest of the 1%, prison guards in Ohio sit on their hands while the governor privatizes more and more of their jobs, chopping away at their union members while their former co-workers take jobs at half the pay rate. This continues until soon the state can completely crush the union by mass privatizing, and still the guards won't strike. They love their slave masters more than they love their own kids. Where real members of the 99% say, give us justice or we'll go on strike, cops and guards say, give us justice or we'll go to work really, really sad. Their worship of the state prevents them from acting in their own self-interest, unlike all other workers who are just part of the 99%. Even now on the verge of having their unions dismantled, the vast majority of them facing an eventual 50% pay cut, they still won't wildcat strike and exercise the power of worker solidarity. They would rather be reduced to crumbs while the state maintains repression complexes on the cheap. Their surrender of their own interests affords the state the luxury of maintaining the sprawling complex, keeping millions locked up for decades, including me. It facilitates a lot of terrible consequences for all of us. If cops and guards really want to be part of the 99%, they should go on strike. They could wildcat strike today and stick it to the state and their corrupt union leadership that sells them out at every turn. That would be a beginning, anyway, and of renouncing their allegiance to the 1%. Better yet, they could quit their jobs and convince everyone working with them to quit too. That's an even better beginning. Then they won't be acting as our enemy, forcing us to take them out when the next rebellion comes. But if they don't strike...
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
But if they don't strike and they don't quit, they're legitimate targets. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from somewhere inside the American torture complex. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain 243-205, P.O. Box 45699, 1724 State Route number 728, Lucasville, Ohio 45699. To read some of Sean's writings and learn more about his case, check out seanswain.org.